In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few weeks ago, we had the Feast of Mid-Pentecost. And in that feast, we heard these very words of our Savior: "Whosoever wishes to come to me, let him come, and I will give him to drink. Whosoever is thirsty will partake of rivers which shall flow forth from his belly." And at that time, we talked about the significance of the nourishment which we receive through water, concerning baptism, how we are cleansed through water, how we need water in order to live, how the second baptism, as St. Simeon the New Theologian characterizes it, is our tears of repentance. And that prepared us again to hear the same words of our Savior, because with reference to the Holy Spirit, we are given great nourishment and great life. Oftentimes, you have heard me talk about how many people push away the grace of the All-Holy Spirit, even when the Spirit is right in front of them. And this is the tragedy, and these are the things which we need to address in order for us to be wise, and in order for us to accept the grace of the All-Holy Spirit, which richly pours forth in the Church. The feast we celebrate is called Pentecost because it's 50 days after Pascha. And on this day, after having prepared themselves, the apostles received their apostleship. For our Savior prepared them after his resurrection, and specifically after his ascension. He told them, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem, so that you may be endued with power. I must go. I will not leave you orphans. For if I go not, the Holy Spirit will not come to you." Our Savior took our nature and brought it up to heaven. He descended and became a man, and at his ascension, he ascends and makes man God by grace. He takes our nature and sits it beside the right hand of God the Father. And then on this day, the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes down. After we are baptized, we receive Holy Chrismation. And when we are signed with the Holy Chrismation, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, the priest says, "The seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit." The seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And on this day, the day of Pentecost, everything is sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. For now all things are complete. Everything has meaning now. Beforehand, during the time of the crucifixion of our Savior, and even after his resurrection, the disciples of our Lord still were not totally clear about certain matters. But they were tarrying together in prayer and supplication, it says in scriptures. But after this day, not just in prayer and supplications, but in the breaking of the bread, after the day of Pentecost, we hear that they come together for the breaking of the bread. From the day of Pentecost, when they were together and praying, what other time can the Holy Spirit come to us except for while we are praying and attentive and together and united in mind, soul, heart, together with God himself? At that time, the gifts come. And on this particular day, the Holy Spirit descended, and there was a sound as if a rushing wind, a mighty wind, vihea pnoi, it says in scriptures, came down. And the disciples of our Lord were filled with the grace of the Holy Spirit, and they became apostles. In other words, They were ordained. They are not just simple disciples now of Jesus Christ, but they are apostles. They are ordained directly by the Holy Spirit. And tongues of fire appeared over them, and they spoke in strange tongues, in different tongues. And this was an offense to the Jewish people, because the Jewish people were very proud of their nation. They were ethnophilists. There was no way that they would accept that God would go to the nations. And so they decided to put themselves above God, those who rejected our Lord. We're dark, and we're not able to accept the light. But because of their darkness, they did not understand what was awaiting them in this rejection. For when a person is in deception and delusion, he likes to control the facts. He likes to make up his own little false world. He lives in a lie. He's in delusion. He's in deception. But we hear at the ending of today's gospel reading, "I am the truth," says the Lord. There is no lie in him. You've heard me say that we're not normal. We're not ourselves. We are not our real selves if we are disconnected to our Lord. Everything which is disconnected to the Lord is distorted. We come to our Lord to be fixed, to be our real selves. If only we could understand the greatness of the gift which our Lord offers to us. And he gives us our free will to make the right choices, and it's up to us. So the disciples of our Lord made the right choices. They heard his voice and they obeyed him, and they tarried in Jerusalem. They came together and they prayed and they received this great gift of the Holy Spirit, and now everything makes sense to them. In the same way, every single one of us on our path towards salvation oftentimes comes across confusing times. We must understand why. We must examine ourselves. What is the reason for our confusion? The fathers clearly say that confusion is a result of pride, and humility gathers the mind, whereas pride scatters the mind. So when we are in church and not really attentive, and our mind is scattered, we can be sure that we have pride to deal with. But the truth of the matter is everybody has to deal with pride to a greater or to a lesser degree. When we face the problem, we can fix the problem. When we don't want to face the problem, we are, as I said, controlling the facts, living the lie, trying to create something that just doesn't exist and will never exist, and you'll never get away with it. So it behooves us to make the right decisions. Because of this great gift on the day of Pentecost, now all of us are able to receive of this great gift, which is beyond our comprehension. On the Feast of the Holy Transfiguration, we chant, "Thou didst show to thy disciples thy glory as each one could endure." And the same applies to us. According to our volition, according to our humility, according to our sincerity, are we able to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit? For there are many and diverse gifts of the Holy Spirit. And our Lord is well pleased to pass them on to us. Our Lord is well pleased to give to everybody according to the capacity of each person. Now it comes back to our gathering of the mind together with the heart, gathering our senses, gathering our person in church, because that's where we are. And that was the time that they received the Holy Spirit, when they were praying together. And because of their ordination, Because they became apostles and bishops, they were able to come together to break the bread and to distribute to all the faithful of the very body and the very blood of Christ. St. John of the Ladder tells us that even in our reception of the Holy Communion of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, we receive as each one could endure of the grace. Surely it is the very body and blood of Christ for each and every one of us. But for the unbeliever or for the one who is far from God and who has not worked on his spiritual senses, he will not perceive grace. And if he does not perceive grace, that means that the devil has the upper hand. And the devil can even tell him the opposite. That at the time of grace, at the time of the reception, when we should be receiving grace, he tells us, you're not receiving anything. What are you doing? He tries to fool us. This is the enemy which, unfortunately, all of us have to face. The apostles were ordained by the Holy Spirit, but we have today what's called apostolic succession. From that very time, the apostles ordained bishops. And the bishops would come together to ordain other bishops. There must be three bishops, at least, to ordain another bishop. Two only and extreme economia, but it should be three. And the ordination and this succession passes on to this very day. Do we understand what this gift is? Do we understand what it means? That has been passed down to our very day by the consecration of bishops. The bishops ordain the priests who are able also to perform the sacred rites, the divine liturgy. At the third hour is when the Holy Spirit descended. And that's why when we read the office of the third hour, all the references are concerning the Holy Spirit. And we ask our Lord who sent down the all-holy Spirit upon his disciples to take him not away from us, but to renew him in us who pray unto thee. And there are two verses which we say in between that hymn. Two verses which are very important verses which we read in the 50th Psalm, which has a lot to do with us and our state. It has a lot to do with us and the cleansing of our spiritual senses to perceive grace. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The first verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You're fooled if you think you have a clean heart, but you can have a clean heart through Christ, through our Lord, through the Holy Spirit. And the second verse, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We live and breathe through the Holy Spirit. We survive through the grace of the Holy Spirit. We cannot live without the Holy Spirit. God is spirit and is worshipped in spirit and in truth. So now we have this apostolic succession, unworthy though we be, in earthen vessels. We have done no good deed upon earth, but because of God's great mercy, because of his great love for mankind, we have received of his grace. That is how we should pray. We have done only that which was our duty to do. And yet we have sinned greatly before the Lord. With humility, we can receive greater grace. So now we come together not just for prayer and supplication, but for the breaking of the bread, to participate in the Holy Eucharist, the very body and blood of Christ, Christ in front of us, Christ in our midst, Christ within us. Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ where I lie, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the ear of every man who hears me, Christ in the eye of every man who sees me, says St. Patrick of Ireland. In his beautiful prayer, it's all in front of us, my beloved, and it's up to us whether or not we want to receive it. How foolish many of us have been, not recognizing that all of the riches of God's mercy are right before us. So let us pray, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. For he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. He needs to create it in us. And last night we heard, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will take away your stony heart from you. And I will give you new life. We can all receive this gift, the greatest of gifts. There is no gift like it. And now let us be attentive and let us follow the service of the Divine Liturgy, wherein we have the service of the breaking of the bread. And let us never come up to the Holy Chalice in a casual manner, but with great preparation. The preparation is essentially repentance, humility, love for God and neighbor. Then we will understand that God is with us, and we will see how tangible His grace is. We will understand that only in Him can we find true life. We will understand that life is a dream and it's a shadow that passes away quickly. We must pray that God will give us spiritual understanding, that He will help us to see sin for what it is and virtue for what it is, to understand what the world is all about and to understand what He is all about. And in this manner, we will receive the grace of the All Holy Spirit. Let us stand aright, let us attend, that we may offer the holy oblation in peace. Amen.